interest in your prayers tonight. A couple of months ago, we talked about the armor of God. And I don't want to rehash that tonight, but I want to deal with some other passages that deal with this idea of the armor that we have. As I said a moment ago, there's been a victory won, and it had to be an awful battle, but it was won for us, and the victory was given to us. And so out of thanksgiving and gratitude every day, we also need to be engaged in a battle. There is a battle raging around us, isn't it? You know that. And Satan is a formidable foe. And Paul said we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we forget. He doesn't. Satan doesn't. Satan doesn't let up at all. You know, I remember several years ago, I think I said something about, I can't think anything, think of anything good to say about Satan. And Sister Leslie, you reminded me in the handshake, he's defeated. That's the best thing I can think about Satan. He's defeated. He's just got a little time. But you know, when you got a little time, you get busy, don't you? Oh, that we could feel like we just got a little time to be faithful to God. You know, how much praise were you to the Lord yesterday? How much praise to the Lord have you been today? He's worthy of some, isn't he? All that he's done for us. So maybe tomorrow we can feel like we need to be a praise to him in the earth by being faithful, by being thankful, by being mindful of what we are and what we're prone to do in the flesh, and remember the great battle and the tremendous sufferings that Jesus endured to set us free, to save us, and someday to be with us forever. Oh, you think about that. Whatever we have to face in this life, and there's a battle. Every one of us has a battle to face every day. It may vary, and from person to person it'll be different, but we've all got a battle to face. You know, in Ephesians 6, he didn't say, now those of you who need it, there's the armor of God. He didn't say that. It's for every one of us. It's for every blood-bought child of God. It's for every one of us. It cost him dearly. And so we need to show thanksgiving and gratitude every day for all that he suffered. You know, even the apostles, after Jesus' resurrection, he said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. And I would have loved to have heard that sermon. Wow. But we still got a battle. You know, I remember hearing about the Civil War. Some of you know a whole lot more about the Civil War than I do, but I heard that even when they signed a treaty, there were still some battles were fought afterwards, even though the war was over. That's kind of the way it is with us. The war's over, but there's still some battles to fight. Not to secure our eternal salvation, but to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And it's a battle, isn't it? Paul's talked about the conflict between that flesh and the spirit. Paul talked in Romans 7 about that which I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Now, wait a minute. Paul, with all that you're blessed to understand, you still had that battle? Yes. And so do you. I don't have to think about that. I know you do. Because we're all walking around in the flesh. These flesh bodies waiting for Jesus to come back. That flesh, like Brother Goen said in his song, the flesh is still my closest foe. It's still there. Oh, so there's a battle for each one of us. A lot of what I might say tonight has reference to Paul's speaking a lot about the ministry that God had called him to and the work that he had to do and the struggles that he had. And if you remember in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the last chapter of 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us." There's a way in which you can share in the work of the ministry, and that is for praying for the ministry. "Finally, brethren, pray for it." If it wasn't necessary, the Spirit wouldn't have moved Paul to write this. "Pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course." Every time we meet, there's a need for prayers to be offered up before time, and I hope during the time, that we pray that the word of the Lord would have free course and be glorified. And the only way it can be glorified is to lift up our Lord, to lift up our Savior, to lift up His grace, to lift up His mercy, His power, His glory, His love, His forgiveness. That's how it can be glorified. It's nothing about us. It's all about Him. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." It was true in Paul's day. It is true tonight. And it'll be true tomorrow and until Jesus comes again. It'll be true. But the Lord is faithful. Oh, I love that. The Lord. Sometimes I come short. Oftentimes I come short. But the Lord is faithful. And that's where our dependence is in the Lord. "Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." That's the battle each day. And that's what we need to be praying. Remember, didn't Jesus give us that in the model prayer? Deliver us from evil. Why do we need to be delivered from evil? Because if you are not thinking like you should, and if you're not doing the things that you should, it's going to affect you. You're going to, if you're not careful, you can start getting a little more comfortable around it. You know, just by degrees, allowing this and allowing that. It's a battle every day. And a lot of that battle is in our mind and in our heart's desires. Not that it's imaginary, all right, but the battle rages in our mind and in our heart's desires. Now, Paul, remember the armor of God was given to us in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul had been in prison for about 2 years. And during those 2 years, you know, all the woe is me that he recorded for us. No, he didn't. Not a single time. See, because the Spirit wouldn't have recorded that. The Spirit wouldn't have impressed that. But you know, that brother had a lot to think about, being in prison for 2 years. And yet God used him mightily, even in prison. The word of God was not bound, even imprisoned. And I realize, you know, sometimes he was in house arrest, but sometimes he was in a dungeon, in stocks, guarded by soldiers. And no doubt that armor of God, Paul had a lot of time to think about those soldiers that were guarding him. And he thought back to Isaiah 59, where the Lord is spoken of well, let me read some of it. I've got several of these verses here. The God himself. Back in Isaiah 59, verse 17. Now, this is where he's speaking of God bringing some judgment upon some people, all right? But he says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate." Now, this is God putting it on, all right? He's not telling us to put this on. This is the Lord who put this on. He put on, Isaiah 59, 17, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head." Sound familiar? But something else he put on, that the Lord put on back there. "And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing." He's going to bring judgment upon some folks. "Put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." So not only did he have vengeance as clothing, but added to that was his zeal for a cloak. And he's going to bring that judgment. But while, zeal as a cloak, all right? Now, there in Isaiah 59, God is speaking of putting this on. But in the New Testament, Paul kind of borrows some of that terminology led by the Spirit and tells us something that we need to put on. But listen, he didn't tell us to go make a breastplate. He didn't tell us to go find some shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. He didn't tell us to go get a helmet. In the New Testament, when Paul writes to us in Ephesians, that provision is from the Lord, primarily in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about that armor points us to the provisions that we have in Christ. And the battle that we face is right now, every day. He secured the battle for us eternally. But there is a battle for us to face. Are we engaged in the battle? Are we soldiers of the cross? We ought to be. We're supposed to be as saints. The book of Ephesians is written to the saints. We're to be soldiers of the cross. I'll say we are soldiers of the cross. But how good a soldier? You know, I look at myself and I think, oh, you know, I come short a lot of times. I suspect you do a better job. But bless your hearts as we think about what we're exhorted to do. You know, there's a lot of things that's taught to us in the book of Ephesians. Wonderful, wonderful book, just like the whole Bible. But it just seems like Ephesians is just so concentrated with some of the wonderful doctrines that we need. And within just 6 short chapters, there's so much that's given to us. And it's all wrapped up in the love of God. I tell you, I just, you know, it's one of my favorite books. And so Paul, 2 years in prison, had a lot of time to think about a lot of things that the churches needed. And so he would write Ephesians. Don't you love the book of Ephesians? I do. You know, all of the Word of God is true and precious. But there's just some portions of it that we gravitate to, don't we? Okay, for lots of reasons. He wrote Ephesians, in prison. He wrote Philippians. I love Philippians, don't you? Rejoice. Paul, you're in prison. Yeah, but I could still rejoice. And he exhorts us to rejoice. He was even exhorting the brethren to rejoice while he was in prison. Rejoice. About what, Paul? In the Lord. We've always got reason to rejoice in the Lord for what he's done for us, what he's doing for us right now. See, the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for us right now. And tomorrow he'll be there. If he doesn't come tonight, that'd be all right too, though, wouldn't it? Okay? Till he comes again, he's making intercession. There's one intercessor between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, but preacher, he's God. Yes, he is. But he's a man. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, he's God, but yes, he's a man. He's there in his resurrected body. You know, Elijah's there in his body, right? Enoch is there in his body. You know, there's at least three. At least three bodies in heaven. Sometimes I wonder when I go to a funeral and I hear some folks talking like as soon as somebody dies, they're whole and their body's there in heaven. It sounds like it. I don't see it that way, do you? Our spirit and soul goes home to be with the Lord. He gives us a robe of righteousness. Till he comes. And then he's going to raise these bodies. And those of us that are alive and remain is going to change these bodies. And we're all going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then there'll be lots and lots of bodies in heaven. And if you take it that those that were resurrected or that came out of the graves after, you know, I'll have to say I'm not 100% settled on that, but the scriptures talks about those that came out of the graves after Jesus' resurrection. Some think that they were the first fruits that went back with Jesus. I don't know. I mean, it could be. I don't know. But regardless, Jesus is there making intercession for us, and he did something tremendous for us. And we need to live in thanksgiving and gratitude every day for the victory that's ours, and save ourselves, which is going to take some effort, save ourselves from this untoward generation having its negative impact upon us. Keeping our mind where it ought to be, keeping our heart where it ought to be, serving him faithfully by serving one another. Didn't Jesus say, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples"? Now that to me, that's big. To me, that's powerful. Because Jesus himself told us, here's something that's going to show to the world that you're my disciples. So how many people can see that evidence from us? Because you know he said, by this, so all men know that you're my disciple, if you have love, one to another. Not for another. It's good to have love for one for another, but it's better to have it to one another. Because that way you're showing it. That way it can be seen. That way it brings glory and honor to his name. And without it being seen, we're not letting our light shine. Without it being seen, we're not bringing glory to his name. We're coming short. All right, so as Paul was in prison, and he had lots of time to think about these things, and he was ministering to the saints even while he was bound with chains, We have these glorious lessons. There's an armor. God has provided for each one of us to be a blessing for us. Now, how much do we need that armor? Can you leave it in the closet? Oh, you can. What's that? Hey, you're going to get stung with some fiery darts if you do. Because God's given you protection from that. But we can neglectfully leave it in the closet and not put it on. See, that's the admonition in the lesson, isn't it? Put it on. If you miss that, you miss the whole lesson. Doesn't matter what all those things represent. If you don't put it on, it's not going to do you the good. Remembering, using, holding it up, that's when it's going to do you some good. And that's when it's going to bring glory to God. Because He's the one that gave it to us. It's His armor that He's given to each one of His blood-bought children. Jesus suffered tremendously. Can you imagine that He would suffer so much? Well, let me put it this way. I just struggle, I really do, that He would suffer so much for a wretch like me. I know I'm a wretch. And yet, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Every time I read that in Hebrews, I say, it's just, oh, that He's not, He finished that work so perfectly. He satisfied the Father completely. And because of that, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Not just acquaintances. Brethren, part of the family. Oh. So Paul wrote those lessons to us. But throughout Paul's ministry, there was struggle. There was a battle he had to face every day in being faithful to the Lord. Do we get to get off scot-free? Do we get to just ignore that? Well, if we do, it takes a toll. It takes a toll on our zeal. It takes a toll on our fervent desire to praise and adore His matchless name. In fact, like some of the other things we've preached here lately, it chokes out the effect of the Word when we neglect it. All right? So, why do we need this armor? Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he speaks of some of the physical reasons why he needed that armor. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 8. And again, he's speaking about the ministry that he has. And how that the gospel was hid to some. They were blinded. You know, well, let me turn to it. If our gospel, let's say 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. These are people that Paul went and preached to. You know, there's not a big E on our forehead that lets everybody know that we're the elect of God. And sometimes the elect of God don't act like the elect of God. And sometimes the Lord hadn't turned the light on so they could see, giving them life and enable them to see. But he goes on in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Is he speaking about the ministry? Paul had lots of struggles. He had great struggles. But he had a greater God to serve, who was faithful to him, who sustained him, who there were times, if you begin read the beginning of 2 Corinthians, that there were times that Paul thought he was a goner, thought it was over this time. You know, he was beaten, he was stoned and left for dead, he was shipwrecked. I'm not preaching Paul, I'm preaching the God that Paul served and the faithful soldier that Paul was. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 to war a good warfare. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he admonished him in those closing admonition there, he admonished him to fight the good fight of faith. Now, he's telling that to Timothy, a preacher, but Timothy was supposed to take that, the things which thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men who shall teach others also. And those things are needing to be preached among us so that we can hear those things and we can follow those things. Okay, there's a work that the ministry is called to, but we all, to some degree, have to face these things, and we all, to some degree, need to be reminded of this. Fight the good fight of faith. Okay? And he's given us armor. You know, God wouldn't call us to battle without giving us armor, right? As a matter of fact, anything that he's ever laid upon your heart that truly and sincerely that he is the one that put it there, he never leaves us to our own doing to get it done. He will give us all the help we need. As much as we need, for how long we need it, and whatever we need. If he's the one that put it on our heart to do it, then he'll help us. He will. And if he's called us to battle, which he has, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, and all this is so that we can be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all, to stand. He's called us to take a stand. There's resistance against that. If you haven't noticed, this world is not friendly. Like our song, Soldier of the Cross, this world is not a friend to grace. Not even the religious world is a friend to grace. I find that out a lot of times. Folks has been taught something different all their life, and you start telling them the glorious things about what Christ has done in finishing the work of salvation, and they look at you like you got an extra eye or something. It's not a friend to grace. But that's okay. It's the truth. That's okay. That's what he's done for us. That's okay. We'll take it to be faithful to him. So Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Troubled on every side? Well, Paul, aren't you discouraged? You know, he knew that everywhere he went, he's going to have that trouble. Yet not distressed. How could that be? You know, you meet up with a series of discouragements and you get frustrated, don't you? And things don't work out like you wanted to, and I'm sure it kept Paul on his knees. You know, there was times when he wanted to go one way and the Spirit forbid him. He decided he'd go somewhere else, and the Spirit forbid him. And he went over to Macedonia. And the Spirit was with him there. When we're meeting with frustrations or resistance in this world, it's time to get on our knees and say, Lord, I just need to know, is this your will? Is this what you want me to do? You know? Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed. You ever been perplexed when you felt like you was doing what's right? Probably have. You're in good company. Paul was perplexed, but not in despair. I tell you, this is good for me when I read this. Because Paul got perplexed with all the understanding, with the abundance of revelation that God had given to Paul. And he got perplexed. Yeah. Usually because our timetable is not the same as God's timetable. But not in despair. God's going to do his will. His purpose is going to be fulfilled. So if we're meeting a brick wall, then maybe we need to ask again. Or maybe it's just not time. You know, something like that. We can get perplexed. We're trying to serve the Lord. But don't get in despair. God knows what he's doing. We're just trying to walk by faith. We want to know the next step. We want to know the whole path. We want to know the outcome. But it doesn't usually please God to show it to us. But how many times have things in your life worked out even better than you would have planned it? I've had those things happen to me. I suspect you have too. That's why we don't get in despair. If we remember that. If we remember it. Now if we forget it, you're going to stay perplexed. All right. Persecuted. But not forsaken. Now, here's a soul searcher right here. How much have you been persecuted for your faith? I guess I'm not doing enough. I guess I'm not stepping out like I should. Paul said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I suspect that we've all had some subtle form of persecution when we've done what the Lord would have us to do, especially out in public when you do what's right and you do what would be pleasing to the Lord. There's going to be some that's going to look at that and say, well, that's strange. But if you're strange because you're being faithful to God, so be it. So be it. Because he said, persecuted, but not forsaken. If we're being faithful to the Lord, he'll be with us. What if you were being stoned? Stephen was. They gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, he was speaking the truth, and I don't know how much love he was speaking it in, but he was speaking the truth. But, you know, I suspect that brother was. I believe he was sincere in trying to show them the truth, and it cut to the heart. You know, it didn't prick them to the heart like it did on the day of Pentecost. It cut those to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. They stoned this faithful, loving brother. Talk about persecution. But what happened in those last few minutes of his life? He looked up to heaven and he saw he wasn't forsaken. The Lord was standing there, not sitting. He was standing at the right hand of God, not forsaken. And brethren, you won't be forsaken either. When you're being faithful to him, you won't be. Cast down, you might be cast down, but not destroyed. Can't be destroyed. We're being preserved in Christ. Now, I guess they could destroy our body here in this life. They could do that. But that won't keep you from enjoying heaven. It just take you on home. Wow. You know, when you can remember that, didn't that give you some boldness? Not going to be forsaken, not going to be destroyed. They can do a whole lot to us. And God's people, down through the ages of time, have had awful persecution. You know, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You read about some of the things in the early days of this country, the persecution, even from churches, to faithful brethren. You know, we haven't had to endure that. We may have had a little bit of subtle persecution. There may have been some that didn't agree with us. But we haven't had to suffer tremendously because of being faithful. Now, we may have some suffering, tremendous suffering in our life. But as far as because of being faithful, we haven't had to endure that. But even if we had, God is faithful. You might get cast down, but not destroyed. Isn't that encouraging? Does it give you a little boldness to go ahead and be a little more faithful? Stand up a little bit more? Speak up a little bit more? So that's, sometimes those sufferings come in a physical way. And if we're going to be faithful to the Lord and use the armor that He's given us, it'll help us in those physical types of sufferings. You know, what was the shield for? Help me out here. Wherewith you can do what? Yeah. It's not going to keep them from coming. It's not going to do away with the fiery darts. It'll quench them. It'll quench them. He's given us something to absorb them. They're still there. They're going to come. But He's given us protection. And yet, sometimes we leave it home in the closet and get hit anyway. And they're not just darts. They're fiery darts. It stings. It hurts. It burns. And you know, sometimes when we leave the Lord behind, it stings. It burns. It hurts. And we carry it home with us. So, physical. Sometimes it's physical. But oftentimes, it's in our heart and in our mind. There's a warfare that rages there. Satan wants to get us distracted. He wants to play with our affections. He wants to show us some glittery things and stir up our desires for those things so that he can get just a little toehold. And he's not going to turn loose. He's going to keep working till he gets a foothold. He's going to keep working. We need to recognize it, don't we? See, if you neglect it, it's going to be trouble. It's going to get stronger. But if you recognize it and you pray to God for the help, He'll help you. He'll help you. All right? So sometimes, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, later on in 2 Corinthians, it sounds like 2 Corinthians is a good book to kind of read on a regular basis, isn't it? All right? Just like all the rest of it. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, these natural bodies, we do not war after the flesh." Now, what he told Timothy... War a good warfare. Well, if there's a good warfare, then there's another kind. Right? And according to this, it's a warring after the flesh. We don't want to do that. We don't want to war with fleshly means. We want to war a good warfare. We want to fight the good fight of faith. All right? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare, this is a parenthetical expression here that kind of adds a little bit to what he just said about warring after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You know, this old flesh, somebody offends you, this old flesh is going to want to lash out. And this old flesh is going to want to do something carnally in retaliation. How dare them do that to me? You know, if you're not careful, that old flesh is going to tell you that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, what are they? They're mighty through God, depending on Him. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me help. I need it. I need you. That's the weakness where we become strong, because we're in the power of His might. That's what we need. Every day, that's what we need. The power of His might. Oh, how often have we dashed off and left Him behind in our mind? We're never out of His hand, but sometimes in our mind we take far journeys without Him. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. For what purpose? To the pulling down of strongholds. Mighty through God. He will give us the help to fix problems when Satan gains an inroad. We may have to do some fessing up. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Satan is so persistent. This flesh is so persistent. We just have to stay on top of it, don't we? Mindful of it. And that's the big battle right there, keeping mindful of it. Because when we let it slip, when we're not thinking about it, he's going to get an inroad. He's going to find a way to weasel in there in our life and cause us some trouble. You ever had that happen? I know you have. I have. All right. Then he goes on in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. There are things that, you know, get our attention. And we sometimes are not thinking so much about the power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus, all the suffering that He endured for us because He loved us. We forget that. Not totally, but we let it slip. We're not mindful of it at the moment. That's why we have to guard our heart. Proverbs talks about guarding our heart. Right? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's that warfare against the flesh. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. I come so short. I forget so quickly. Let's see. But he gave us something, a helmet of salvation. When I remember, When I remember His mercy, when I remember His grace, when I remember His power, when I remember His love and His promises, that saves me. That saves me. The helmet of salvation. When I remember what He's done for me, oh, it helps me. So not only is the mind and heart important for us to guard and to remember these things, we also need to take care of this body too, don't we? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul talks about what he did with his body. There were physical sufferings. Then there's the challenges to our memory, our mind, our heart. Then Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, see, all of this we're hoping to show and remind you is the need for this armor that we've been given. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. We're not just to sit on the sideline, we're to run this race with patience. You know, Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay? So run that ye may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Know what Paul was looking for? Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He didn't earn it, but it was laid up for him, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not another. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He wasn't a shadow boxer. He wasn't just talking about things that didn't matter. He was dealing with the issues. He was preaching what the Lord had put on his heart. The Spirit was leading him to teach. And he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Wow. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, thinking about what Paul wrote in Romans 7. That which I would not, that I do, and that which I do, I would not. I may have said the same thing twice there, but you know what I'm talking about. Paul said there was a need for him to bring his body into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, and he was going to be preaching to others, I myself should be a castaway. A castaway, as we've said a number of times, back is an allusion to the games, the ancient games. The athletes would train rigorously, just like they do today. Train long and hard, and they had to keep up that training because they had to have their peak performance. If they missed their training, if they got distracted, if they didn't eat like they should, sleep like they should, if they didn't take care of themselves, if they didn't keep their body under subjection, they wouldn't perform like they should. And when we get distracted on the things of this world, when the cares and the pleasures and all those kind of things start choking out the word in our lives, we don't run this race like we should. And back then, what would happen, there were people that were supporting those athletes so that they would win the race. And if they broke their training and if they couldn't perform like they should, they cast them away and got somebody else who would. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be a castaway in trying to serve the Lord. I want to be faithful. Faithful to the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Time's getting away. So, Paul, as he taught, as the Spirit led him, and as he recorded all those wonderful lessons in the book of Ephesians, he comes down to this armor. You have to wonder if Paul wasn't sitting there thinking, Lord, what can I leave with them that would have a lasting benefit to encourage them to be faithful in your service? And what better could there be than to be reminded of all the help that has been provided for, the provision of Jesus himself, whose blood has cleansed us from our sins, whose power is keeping us each day. We're preserved in him, and he's coming back to get us and take us home to be with him forever, because that's what he wants. That's the goal. I hesitate to use the word goal. Well, we set goals and we try to make them, but sometimes we don't make it. He always accomplished what he purposed to do. Isaiah said, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. And so as we conclude that wonderful book of Ephesians, we have the armor of God to remind us to be faithful. He's going to help you. You might be persecuted, but you won't be destroyed. Or you might be cast down, but you won't be destroyed. You might be, you know, all those things that we read out of 2 Corinthians 4. All those things that we might have to endure. He's with us. We won't be forsaken. He's going to be faithful to us. He's going to help us. And as long as we're trying to be faithful to him, he's going to come with power to help us. I'm not saying you won't have any struggles. I'm not saying you won't have disappointments. I'm not saying you won't meet with some things that may perplex you, but he's going to be there if we're following him. See, that's the key. If we're in the battle, let me close out with another passage that touches on this armor in Romans 13. Romans 13. I didn't know about what we might go quickly over this armor, but we won't have time tonight. There'll be another time for that. Romans 13, beginning in verse 11. And that knowing the time, do we know the time? They're evil. We have God's grace with us, but there's a lot of evil in this world. Paul would also write in 2 Timothy 3 that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. How long do you think it's going to be before those times are here? Yeah, they're already here. They're already here. Okay. But God's able to keep us. He's given us armor. As long as we're facing the battle, that armor is going to be good for us, right? And nothing to cover the back. So as long as we're facing the battle, as long as we're remembering him, as long as we're standing in the power of his might, we got help. We got defense. We got a shield. Knowing the time, that now it is high time. What's high time? Straight up. Well, what's that? I like Brother Sonny Pyle's definition of that. Just before it's too late. It's high time. Too late for what? Well, if you're not in the battle, if you're not facing the battle, if you don't have armor to protect your backside, you're going to get stung. You're going to get hit with some fiery darts because the devil's going to be doing his work. He's going to be diligent to do his. All right. But now it is high time. High time for what? See, when you're reading the scriptures, you need to ask questions, don't you? If it's just before too late, then what are we supposed to be doing? Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Oh, how much of our day could be spiritually spoken of as just being asleep, as opposed to standing and facing the battle and being have our mind and our heart engaged in what's right. It's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That's a true statement, isn't it? Salvation, and no doubt he's whatever deliverance he's talking about. Whatever deliverance is coming. You know, sometimes we need timely deliverances. Sometimes we're thinking about the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And obviously, the longer we go, the sooner it is. It's nearer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now that brings in the idea of understanding. That brings in the idea of knowledge of what we need to be doing. The knowledge of godliness. The knowledge of things that we need to be adding to our faith so that we can stand strong, so that we can be faithful to the Lord, so that we can let our light shine. Armor of light. Yes, it's armor to protect us, but those things, the more we understand about it, then the more we see that the understanding, the wisdom that we need to put it on and use it faithfully. All right? Cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. And he's going to kind of restate what that means. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. You know what that is? That's warring after the flesh. And he says we don't war after the flesh. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But this stuff that he just mentioned, I say that reverently, these things that he just mentioned, the drunkenness, the chambering, the wantonness, the strife, the envying, those are carnal weapons. You can hurt people with those things. You hurt yourself with those things. That's warring after the flesh. But put ye on the armor of God. Is that what it says? Well, sort of. That's what it means. Over in Ephesians 6, he said, put on the armor of God. But here he says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our protection. We remember him. We remember what he's done. We remember what he's doing for us. We remember the help that we have in him. We remember the protection, the preservation that we have in him. So put him into your mind. Bring him in the forefront. Keep him before us. You know, when the Lord told when God told Abram, I'm the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect. In other words, he's to keep the Lord before him. We're to do that. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. When you get distracted, our mind's not where it needs to be. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be following the flesh. But cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in all those other things, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh, how often we make provision for the flesh. We're supposed to remember the Lord, remember the goodness. You know, we have our responsibilities in this world. We have things that we need to do, take care of, but we can do it with a Christian attitude. We can do it mindful of His goodness, thankful for His blessings, and use them in ways that are pleasing to Him. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. In other words, don't plan to continue in that way. Okay? So all these things, other places, there's some other passages that we could have noticed, but in connection with the armor of God, Paul speaks of the warfare he had. He speaks of the warfare we have and how the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We've got a sword of the Spirit. Jesus used it every time Satan tempted him, right? It is written. It is written. And what's interesting about when Jesus said it's written, what he told him that was written was exactly what addressed the temptation. See, it's not just quote a scripture when you're tempted, but get the right one. And the more capable we are of knowing the scriptures and understanding that and recognizing the temptation, the sharper our sword. The Word of God. Oh, may God help us to remember the lesson says, put it on. He's given us all the provisions we need to serve Him faithfully, to fight the good fight of faith. When Paul came to the end of his way, 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not another. Oh, may God help us to fight the good fight of faith. May He help us to finish our course, keep the faith. Kind of mixing in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus. That's where our help is. That's our help. May God help us to be faithful to Him and use that armor that He's given us to His glory, depending upon Him all the way to His glory, and it'll redound to your blessing. May God bless us to do just that. Anything you want to add?